If you want to build a family that lasts, don't miss the Do-It-Yourself Guide today on Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman.
Let's start to dream about that home life that we are wanting. It's not going to happen on its own. Let's dream about it together. Let's begin to draw up some plans, and let's sit out together to accomplish those plans.
This is Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Today, Dr. Shannon Warden joins Dr. Chapman to give a relational home makeover. They've written a book together titled The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. You can find out more at 5lovelanguages.com.
Welcome to a summer best of broadcast from 2019. It's a do-it-yourself, or maybe better stated, allow God to do it in you and through you program. What if you put your energy toward building a lasting family? What can happen?
It's that what if that propelled Dr. Shannon Warden and me in this new project, Chris. What are the small things you can do that will reap huge benefits in our rewards down the road? We're going to hear about those things today as we talk to Dr. Warden.
Well, let me introduce her. She's an assistant teaching professor at Wake Forest University, where she teaches in the graduate counseling program. She's also the director of counseling and director of women's ministries at Triad Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. She's counseled children, families, young adults, women, and couples for more than 20 years. And she served as an assistant to Dr. Chapman since 2003. She and her husband, Stephen, have three children. Our featured resource today is the book, The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. You can find out more at 5lovelanguages.com.
Well, Dr. Warden, welcome to Building Relationships.
Dr. Chapman, I'm tickled to be here. We say that in the South. We're tickled to be here.
You're right. You have been working alongside me for a long time. I remember years ago when you came on our staff at the church as a counselor, before you went back to college and got your PhD and then taught 3 years in Gardner-Webb University, or maybe more than three, before you came to Wake Forest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you've done the last several years with me. You know, I get so many emails from all over the country that I can't handle all of them, Chris. It's just too many. And I trust Shannon to respond to some of those people for me. You know, we're very open and honest. She's not appearing to be me, but she's been a real help along those lines too. So it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Why do you think so many parents struggle to be the kind of parents that they really want to be?
I can speak of myself first. Stephen and I are, honestly, I think we're as busy. I don't know how we could be personally any busier than we are right now. Both of us work full time. We have leadership roles. We've got three kids that we love dearly. They're very active. We've actually now, made it into the teenage years. So, there's something going on all of the time, and I think at the very minimum, the busyness is a reason that parents struggle to be the parents that they want to be, and then just stress in general that comes along with being so busy, and you got to pay bills. So, I know there's all sorts of really cool, in fact, we talk a lot about that in the DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, some, tools for how to organize differently, how to let some things go, et cetera. But that is so real. We say the struggle is real. So I know there's a lot of parents who are identifying with that right now. And it's just busyness and the stress that comes along with it, I really do believe, first and foremost.
Well, I think a lot of listeners will certainly identify with what you've just described because they are where you are, both of them working and children at home. And how do we do all this together? And so,
yeah.
Let's talk about one of the things that really is kind of fundamental, and that is we have to draw up plans if we're going to make changes. But we're not really sitting around thinking about drawing up plans. Most. So what do we mean by that?
We're trying to survive.
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So the drawing up plans is, it's not an intentional. Even for me, as a counselor, as a a parent, somebody who's talking about these things on a regular basis, I literally ask myself, Shannon, what's working right now? What's not working? What are you going to do about it? Aside from that, so far in my life, nothing has magically changed. You know, I mean, obviously God is always working and beyond our limitations for sure. So I could point to so many things in my life and say, thank you, God. There you are again and again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But that intentionality does not come naturally around that subject of drawing up the plans.
Yeah. Well, in the book, of course, we're trying to really give the folks some help on kind of a blueprint for home improvements and for family improvements. It is important, however, if at all possible, that the mom and dad get on the same page, right? Be working on the same blueprint.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you think about it, say, so Stephen and I just recent time have built a house, you know, which was an incredible process. Dr. Chapman and his wife, Carolyn, y'all came over, blessed us by being there. And we had the great privilege of getting to interview y'all on all these years of marital success. And you know, y'all were very honest about that. In fact, I should tell folks they will, you know, be able to find that with very, very little trouble if they Google that. And hopefully we'll find it through the fivelovelanguages.com as well, the interview. But you know, we were talking about how the process of building our house, and of course, that's really the theme throughout the book. You know, you're building a home, you're renovating a home. That home improvement metaphor. We just, you know, we had so much fun playing off of that and relating it to how it is we as families, you know, can make those home life improvements that we're looking for. But let's say now to the home, us building a home, we didn't have two builders or two general contractors. We had one. And, you know, he consulted with us and you know, got what it was, you know, we wanted. He listened and, you know, tried to bring that to life in the home. But he was one person. Stephen and I are two people. We're the general contractors, if you will, of our home and of our family life. And, you know, to really get on that same page that you mentioned, Gary, is, you know, it's hard. It takes effort. It takes humility. Certainly, that's something we've talked about in the book as well. Just how do you even get on the same page to begin with?
Our hope would be that a husband and wife would work through this book together and chapter by chapter say, yeah, here's something we need to do. Here's something we need to do. Obviously, if one of them is not willing, the one can at least expose themselves to it, right?
I hope so. I know you do. I run into that in counseling a lot. The wife or the husband, they'll be very, you know, motivated. They're motivated. They want to do counseling, but the other person may be a little half-hearted or uncertain. And it's not always that case, but it is often the case that it is that how do both even decide we equally want to be here? We want to equally engage. And I almost turn into a cheerleader in moments like that, just grateful to both of them for wanting to be on the same page. And I think back to kind of the, you know, the blueprints idea here and the drawing up the plans. When we think as couples what it is we want in our home life, it's fairly intuitive or good sense that good home life is not going to come about if there's resistance in the couple, if they are as the general contractors or the builders, let's say the builders of the home, they as the builders, if they have disagreement or conflict between them, they absolutely are going to have trouble moving forward with those plans. So that's a great starting place is when folks are thinking about getting this book or they're early in reading the book that they invite each other into it. Let's do this together. Let's start to dream about that home life that we are wanting. It's not going to happen on its own. Let's dream about it together. Let's begin to draw up some plans and let's sit out together to accomplish those plans.
The resource we have for you today is the book by Dr. Chapman and our guest, Dr. Shannon Warden. It's titled The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. You can find out more right there at fivelovelanguages.com.
Well, let's talk about some of the tools for families who want to really improve their family life. In the book, we address 12 of those. But give us a couple of them right now, Dr. Warden, in terms of the folks understanding the kind of things we're dealing with in the book.
You know, obviously I'm biased, so I think they're all great. And so, you know, folks are interested. Well, where do they even start? We start with building kindness. That is so, I guess what you'd say, it's taken for granted a lot of times that as we, you know, we as families, we as couples, we just naturally be kind to each other. I know, though, you and all these years of counseling and me and mine are pretty certain, pretty clear that kindness sometimes goes out the window. And, you know, so families are often consulting with us for how do we bring kindness back? How do my husband and I change our tone with each other? How do we show more consideration? How do I get my kids to stop fighting? You know, they're in the car, they're arguing. How do you get them to stop? How do we get our family to, you know, to be able to build kindness? At the first of the book, we start with building kindness again, because you just can't take that for granted. And without it, it's difficult to pull off the rest of the tools. So we wanted to come in just at the beginning of the book with building kindness.
You know, one of the things, and I think this was your idea, is actually giving the family members permission to call us out when we're not kind. Say a word about that.
Well, listen, my kids call me out. They're very verbal kids, which, thank God. I mean, you know, they are growing up in a counselor's family, and so, you know, we're very open, and I think appropriately so, really. But they are... they will call me out, you know, even on, say, issues like my being on my cell phone. And so much of my work is done on a cell phone and on a laptop. And so Presley, let me tell you now, these are not actual, well, they are words, but what Presley will do is actually grab my chin very gentle. She'll grab my chin. she drags my chin over to her face. And, you know, that's kind of obviously a nonverbal way. She then proceeds to tell me what it is she wants me to know. But, you know, that's her kind way of calling me out. Mama, you're not paying attention to me.
Yeah.
She will also let me know if we're not playing enough together. Mama, you're working. We should be playing. And I would like to say I'm making that up. But at, you know, her young age, she is actually that articulate. And so they will, for sure, at my house, call me out. And again, appropriately. You know, obviously there's some, you know, boundaries on that. We're not wanting to teach them disrespect or, you know, we want them to be thoughtful. But they surely will. They surely will call us out if we are, you know, not being kind. And that just happens to be one example of the cell phone or being busy on a computer.
What ideas would you have for how do we grow moving away from selfishness to kindness?
What we've done is taken a unique approach on the DIY, the do-it-yourself concept. We've said, let's us do it ourselves. You and I, do it yourself first. Let's you and I check ourselves. Where are we occasionally unkind? Let me listen to my tone. Let me listen to my word choices. I want to note what that other person, my husband or my children, I want to note what their reaction was to my words, to my timing, to my tone. So that DIY is me, first and foremost, looking at myself, examining myself for where it is I can make changes, and then begin to actually set out on making that change. It's not only the awareness, but the action on the awareness that really brings that DIY concept to life in the book. So some specifics you heard me say there, and just, you know, there in that one short example are self-awareness, listening to timing, tone, word choices, watching the reactions of my loved ones to check myself, how in just those ways, just around my communication, how can I check myself and make some changes such that I might be more kind to them in my words.
So if the parents are taking the lead and they're working on this, they're going to be far more effective in impacting the children. That's what I hear you say.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. DIY. Listen, as you said, of selfishness, so it's so instinctive, it's human nature. I want them to DIY. You go do it yourself. You know, stop talking to me that way. Can't you see I'm, you know, on a call? Can't you see I'm working? I need to fold clothes. I don't have time to dress babies, dress baby dolls. If my tone and in my expectation there of them is as such that I just demonstrated, that is unkind. Now, is it coming from a tired place, a busy place? Yes. But parents, families, if you're wanting to make changes, if you're wanting to go after that dream home life, much like Chris, you said early on, the dream house, you know, we're building these dream homes and trying to renovate to make them more comfortable. Now switch over into family life. If we want to accomplish that dream life, that dream home life, we're going to have to stop with the you do it yourself first. I've got to do it myself first. Let me DIY do it yourself such that my kids can see, and hopefully even my husband as well, my, you know, my spouse can see and be encouraged in his own DIY efforts as well.
Yeah. You know, that first answer that you gave, Dr. Warden, about, you know, why do we struggle? I think, and my wife and I have 9 kids, Andrea and I have 9 children, and I think that it's very difficult to love well or build a family when you're afraid. You know, there's just so much fear about, well, what if I make a mistake on this in kindergarten? I send my child to the wrong first grade class, you know, and you just build up this fear. And then you get on the other side of it and you look back and you are weighted with guilt for, you know, well, I didn't do that right. And I didn't do that right. So this fear and guilt, I think, really adds to the weight of the struggle of parents. And then you add in a spouse that's not on the same page, and you've just got you're slogging through mud, trying to get your cart through this great big morass, and you can't love well when you're afraid or you feel guilty. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That Gary, I feel like Chris is kind of taking us into chapter 8, developing compassion. You know, because the opposite is the shaming and the blaming. You know, we do feel the fear, Chris, that you're calling out, fear of failure. You know, and that might come from past mistakes. It might even come from our own family of origin, you know, some failure there. And you know, or we may just be high achievers. It's got to be this way. You know, can't be any less. And that is so close to my heart, this, you know, self-compassion. And I love, Gary, that's probably one of my favorite chapters, truthfully, chapter 8, is, you know, developing compassion. And, you know, we actually, Chris, we talk in that chapter about some of the research that the Stanford University School of Medicine has done around compassion. And those folks out there, you know, are finding for us that there's pleasure, there's decreased levels of stress, there's strengthening of the immune system. You know, these are like added advantages of us really working on the home life goal of more compassion, or using that tool of compassion, developing compassion such that we can deal a little bit better with that fear. That fear is paralyzing, you know, and we really do. Parents, I know, and Gary, you know, of all these years in helping couples and families, we can really get hung up in that fear. And what we're asking you to do, listener and reader, is to just get that sledgehammer out. You know, we watch all those great home improvement shows. Get that sledgehammer out and start demolishing, right? It's the demolition day kind of thing. Start demolishing some of that fear. Is it all going to go away at once? No. But with that transparent, intentional mindset, can you get to work demolishing those old roots of fear and start, you know, getting busy just in this area in particular, developing compassion for yourself, for your family? That's going to take you a long way of breaking through that fear.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about disrespect. I think all parents somewhere along the line will feel coming from their children disrespect. And, you know, one way to approach that is, you know, the father says to the child, "You're not going to talk to your mother like that. That's not respectful to your mother. Now you hear what I'm saying." is there a better way?
I've heard that a little bit here and there.
How do you respond to a child in a way that will likely be more effective than simply condemning the child and yelling at the child?
I have seen that, you know, and again, sometimes that comes from busyness or having learned that as a parent, or you know, yourself having seen your parents model that. But it's a, what is that? It's the do as I say, do, not as I do. Mm-hmm. And you know, in that moment, if let's say, let's take that parent, let's sit them down, and we're just having a casual conversation. We've taken them out of that moment, you know, or otherwise just having a casual conversation, and we say to them, now in a neutral moment, how is that working for you? I'm pretty sure they're going to find, just on that very basic level of exploration and self-awareness, they're going to find that that's not working. You know, at the very basic level, it's not working. The kid maybe does eventually do what they do. You know, you're going to show me respect. Yeah. But is the child doing it with, you know, pouting or anger? Is it resentful? You know, is there a reaction, a resentful reaction? Now, parent, check yourself on how is this, again, now let's take it away from that moment. Let's even advance it to another instance where the child perhaps is not even being disrespectful, but they are just generally firing off at you in a similar tone that you're talking to them in these other moments. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We're with that parent. We're in a neutral moment, and we would say, how is that working for you? You might have learned it. You might be tired. That kid maybe have a serious issue, he or she needs some help. Let's not remove the child from blame here. Sometimes kids do get sassy, and they do need to be corrected. But how's it working for you to fire off at them? You will do what I say. And I should say, too, of myself, Lord knows, I have said, stop it. What is my heart behind that? Is my heart one of disrespecting the child? And if it is, then I'm not modeling anything positive for them. I'm, in fact, only adding to the problem. So yeah. I know I'm saying some multiple things there, but it's is it working for you? Really take an assessment of that. Is it working for you? Then self-awareness, thinking not only in this moment, this tough moment, but beyond, how is my child occasionally speaking to me in the way that I'm speaking to them? Wow, I might need to pull back on this. And in fact, Gary, I want to get in here. Another cool tool that we have added to this book is the home life inspection quiz. Parents, please find this quiz. Grandparents, I love to talk to the grandparents too. Grandparents, you're watching with an observant eye of how your children are now raising your grandchildren. Encourage them to get the book. Encourage them to go online and take this free test, this little quiz, home life inspection quiz. That's where we encourage readers to essentially weigh in on how is it going for you? How is this working? And that's, of course, one of the questions, you know, around respect and gratitude, the tool that we talk about in the book, kind of the in decreasing disrespect, we want to increase gratitude. So definitely take a look at the home life inspection quiz to get you focused on areas that need improvement in your home life.
Yeah, I do think that's a tool that'll be helpful to people. And, you know, one of the points I hear you making, I think, is really, really important. And that is, if our children are speaking in a disrespectful manner to us, they probably learned it from us because we've done the same thing to them. So for us to ask ourselves, what you're saying, is it really working for us? And then I think to say to the child, you know, rather than coming down hard and condemning them, to say, you know, I listened to this afternoon when you were talking to your mother, and it sounded like you were talking a little loud and harsh. How did you feel about that? Did you feel okay about the way you talked to your mother? Yeah, letting the kid think, letting them enter into, you know, and you're not condemning them. You're asking questions. I think that's a powerful way to help a child begin to think about what they're doing and how they talk. So. Another area that we really deal with, I think, is important, is the whole thing of gratitude. Children have to be taught how to say simple things like thank you. And as adults, we often fail to reckon all the good things that God has given us that we just take for granted every day. So how do we build a sense of gratitude into our family?
Well, great question. In each chapter of the DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, we have sections that are consistent throughout the book. There's a DIY section, and that's really encouraging the individual parent to look at themselves, how is it that I can make change? So we've spoken to that now previously, but the DIY section, there's a planning or drawing up the plans section. Then there's an all-in budget section. So we, you know, listener, we, Gary and I love, and our families love home improvement and home improvement television. I'm biased. I'm going to say who doesn't love it, but there's probably somebody out there. We love it and have made several improvements to our homes over the years. But, you know, we've got this section, the all-in budget section, and that's where we're talking to the reader, inviting them to invite their family all in, right, to go all in. And, you know, one of the things that we have said there is just let's all pay attention to what it is we're grateful for. You know, let's watch, let's let go of the but what about. I'm pretty good at that. Well, yeah, I'm grateful, but what about? Nope. We really want you to try to put the brakes on the but what about excuses, because that takes us right back down a critical and sometimes disrespectful path. We're wanting, you know, to encourage readers and listeners right now, we're wanting to encourage you to really examine this tone of gratitude in your house, this effort toward gratitude. Invite your family all in, and it almost becomes a game type of mentality there. It lightens things up. It takes us away from over-focusing on what's wrong. It moves our focus more to what's right. And Gary, one of the other sections in the book, of course, in each chapter is sweat equity. So in the all-in budget, we say, hey, everybody get involved. Now in the sweat equity section, we're saying, and here's some things you can do. Here's some tools that you can do, some activities. And one of the very first ones that we say in this chapter under the sweat equity section is appreciate your spouse and children. And this comes from Dr. Chapman, you all. This is one of his awesome ideas. Keep your list of gratitudes. You know, we want to keep these lists visible, perhaps on a refrigerator, perhaps somewhere in a central location in the family where we can actively recognize in a written way or in little smiley face ways. I mean, there's so many fun things that we can do as families, but we want to keep lists of gratitudes. And that's one of the many practical, easy, doable DIY kinds of activities that we've added to the book, and in particular to this chapter on gratitude, is keep lists of gratitude.
Now, we know that conflict is inevitable in a marriage relationship. We're going to have conflicts, and parent-child will have conflicts. But it's important to learn how to resolve conflicts in a positive way, and we both know that many people have never learned how to do that. It took me a long time and Carolyn a long time to learn how to solve conflicts. Mm-hmm. What are some of the positive steps in resolving conflicts if the parents are at conflict with each other?
In the book, we talk about a particular perspective of is it a pest? Now, Chris, hang on. Is it a pest, P-E-S-T, or is it a step, S-T-E-P? So same letters, right? Is it a pest or is it a step? And the difference in the two, so how is it that we're experiencing this conflict? Is it an annoyance to us, meaning it's a pest? And I'm going to kind of give you what these words, the acronyms for each, P-E-S-T and S-T-E-P. But is this annoyance? Because conflict, I got to tell you, is an annoyance. I just want everybody to play nice and truthfully, back to human nature, I just want everybody to do what I say do. So, you know, I've got some control issues. We're working on that. But is this conflict, is it a pest or is it a step? And the P-E-S-T here is this, patience. The P is patience. So in pest, it's patience, and in step, it's patience. And is it low or high? Is your patience level low or high? So, listener, you're wanting to ask yourself, well, you know, how is my patience level? Just very simply put, is it low or high? And that is going to help determine if it's low. If my patience is low, you're probably leaning to the pest side. This is the P in pest, would be in the P in the pest. But in a step, my patience is high. And ultimately, if I should say the annoyance would be the pest, is it an opportunity would be the step? Is this conflict an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for improvement? Or is it just a sheer annoyance? And again, we have to look at our patience level. The E in PEST or in STEP is expectation. Are our expectations my way or our way? If it's my way, my expectations are about me and what I want, we're probably, again, leaning more to this feeling like, and therefore us handling it like it's an annoyance or a pest. So that was the E, expectations, my way or our way. Style, is yours an argumentative style, or are you open to compromise? And so, again, that's the S, and that's determining, is this an annoyance and I'm likely not going to do much with it that's productive, or is this a step? Is this conflict a step? And is my style open to compromise? Then lastly, the T is treatment of the other person. Is it harsh or loving? And so we, you know, had fun. This is something that I use with clients, and I use with a lot of my women's teaching or parenting teaching, is talking about, well, let's first look at it. Is this a pest to you? Is your mindset one of annoyance? I'm mad about this conflict. I'm mad that it's not going my way. And yes, I probably am a little sour or disrespectful toward my loved ones. In that way, it would be a pest. But how is it we switch to seeing it as a step, as an opportunity for positive growth? And this is, you know, for starters, it's just for me and my mind, or you, listener, in your mind, determining, okay, am I experiencing this as an annoyance or as an opportunity? And once we can kind of get our mindset more to seeing it as an opportunity or a step in the right direction, the more we can do that, the more likely we are to be able to make good use of the conflict. I want to say that in a little bit of a paradoxical way, good use of the conflict. You know, so that there, that in that way, it's not, oh, this is awful. We're never going to work through this. Why have you done this way? It's no. Wait a minute. Take a breath. How is this a possible opportunity for growth? How can we make it a step and not a pest?
Yeah. One of the metaphors that we use in the book is pipes in a house, and we talk about unclogged pipes. And I remember you said, everything flows a lot easier through unclogged pipes. Mm-hmm. How does that relate to the whole communication part of relationships?
Well, you know, and I got to tell you kind of a growth story. Is it okay? I'm going to tell a little growth story. I was just recently realizing in my beautiful, because we've just in recent time now built this house, and there I've got a really beautiful bathroom vanity, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, my faucet is backing up, or the drain is backing up. Now, this is pretty new house, and it's beautiful. You know, it's still beautiful. and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, aha, found the culprit. Beautiful sink, but clogged pipes. And, you know, and so that's, which is another, I think, heads up for all of us. You can have things really working well. And this is a relatively new house, but we're using this house. And then therefore, it's, you know, already building up a couple of little problems that as you mentioned, I think earlier, Dr. Chapman, that we're going to have to talk about maintenance. And we'll get to maintenance in a little bit in this talk. But I'm realizing there's the problem. I'm going to have to, you know, unclog this pipe. So what we did with that in terms of the metaphor and how, just like building homes, we're building relationships, we said that if the pipes, if our communication, that is unclear, if it is harsh, if it's inconsiderate, if these types of things are happening in our patterns, if these types of patterns are happening in our communication, the pipes are going to get clogged. So rather than the hair that was clogging my sink, I think probably a lot of the women knew exactly what I was talking about. They're like, I know why her pipes are clogged. you know, it's if in a similar way, if our communication is clogged, if we've got some harshness, if we have some inconsideration, if we are not clear in our communication, kind of maybe sending mixed messages at times, it's really easy to block up those that flow of communication. And so we had a lot of fun, Chris, talking about pipes, leaky pipes, clogged pipes, when we were talking about communication in this book.
Dr. Warden, in the book we talk about, and I think this was your idea, the high five as a model of communication. Explain that to us.
I love it. I love physical illustrations. And so literally, You know, if I'm listening to this interview right now and I hear high five, or if my kids hear it, they're probably literally reaching over, you know, Mom, hey, they said high five, so high five. And we are physical. We love to learn in physical ways. And so literally, when we were talking about this, you know, there was a visual and a physical piece to that, like a high five, like, you know, hand to hand, high five. And the fun in that was what we were wanting to capture and to encourage families of have some fun with this. The literal five C's, and, you know, it works out. Gary, you're a fan of five, you know.
I like five.
And, you know, and so in the high five, the fun of that, you know, it made sense. So we went with five C's, and we said, is our communication considerate? Is it calm, clear, concise, and consistent? You know, in any given moment, we can pull off considerate, calm. You know, in my really good mom moments, I'm very calm, very, very proud of myself, I'm handling these challenges in a really calm way. So in my good moments, I can pull off considerate, calm, clear, concise. That consistency is the thing that we're maybe of all of those five. They're all important. They're all equally important, but the consistency is the fifth for a reason. How consistent is this? We don't want to just trick our family. Oh, I'm calm right now. But, oh, Mom is going to, you know, not be calm. And now I don't know if I can trust her or not, or what who's Mom going to be today? Or, you know, I wish you were more that mom instead of this mom. I mean, I've heard so many, you know, kids and adults even reflect back on their childhood. And I look at my own family life. I see these five, turns out to be a fun visual and a fun physical way of learning. Hey, family, we're going to start going all in together. We're going to give each other high fives when we're exercising any of these five C's. We're considerate. Hey, thank you for being considerate of Mom right there. You saw I was on the phone, and you gave me a couple of more minutes. You saw I was talking with Dad. Hey, listen, I knew, to say to Stephen now, my husband, I know that you could have taken issue. We see this differently, but I really appreciate you staying calm while you expressed your feelings around this. You see what I'm saying? So it's this all in. Yeah. It's fun. It's inviting openness. It's inviting accomplishment, that these are accomplishable goals. So we're hoping that, listener, that you're going to take this and think, okay, high five. I hear them. High five. I can do that. We can have fun in our family with this. We can make these home life improvements that they're talking about in the DIY guide to building a family that lasts. We can do these things. We can high five. Our family loves to high five, like the best of them. But those five C's, that's what you want to spend time teaching yourself and teaching your kids. Considerate, calm, clear, concise, and consistent.
Dr. Warden, in the book, you talk about creating fun and building connection, but there's a section on maintenance that I want to highlight here before we end the program today. Talk about maintenance.
I recently had some folks over, and they said, "Does your house always look this great?" I laughed, and I said, "Absolutely not. I got this ready for you, you know, for this event." And our houses don't. And similarly, our relationships don't always stay perfect. I don't know that they're ever perfect, but they're not always so great. And I think, listener, you know that. And Gary and I know that. Chris, you know that it takes work. It does take effort. Just as I cleaned my house and had it looking great for that event, while it's not the event that should drive your home maintenance efforts necessarily, or I shouldn't let that just drive my home maintenance efforts, it did. The event did. Similarly now, if we want our relationships to really last, so not just one time, we've not just cleaned them up one time, we got our communication right, we worked through an anger or a forgiveness issue one time, we built trust one time, we had fun one time. Who has fun one time? You know, now you actively seek to maintain that growth. So it's not just the once and done. I cleaned it one time and now it's done. No, you're going to regularly want to clean, or, you know, in this case now with relationships, maintain. Do the good work of staying connected. Do the good work of being kind, being respectful, showing gratitude, loving each other, being more patient. Do that work on a daily basis. And yeah, some of you are going to say, no, we're not going to be patient every day. Chris, you with the 9 kids, I'm thinking, you know, probably at some point y'all were not patient with each other, you know. And Gary, I know you've shared so many great stories about your family. I know y'all have not always been patient, nor have we, and listener, nor have you or will you. It's not about always. It's about maintaining. It's about maintenance, regular attention to these relationships, regular care and upkeep, so that you're not somewhere down the road saying to yourself, if only. I know so many listeners right now, you've got some of that regret, some of that sadness, if only we had been more respectful, if only our communication had been better, you know, et cetera. You know, you're doing that. We do that as people. We look back and we think, if only. This and what we're talking about in the DIY family book is that we can maintain. It's not perfection. It's not perfection that you're looking for, but it is maintenance and upkeep and regularly checking in with each other, regularly DIY, doing it yourself, regularly inviting an all-in effort, the sweat equity that is required to accomplish the big reveal. You know, we love the big reveals in the home improvement shows. You're working toward a big reveal in your home life, and it absolutely is going to require maintenance.
Unclogging the pipes from time to time, and and apologizing from time to time. But yeah, what the book does is give us a blueprint to work on. And I think any couple out there that really sincere, and I think there's a lot of couples that want to have a growing family relationship, this book's going to give them a lot of practical ideas on how to do that. So, well, Dr. Warden, it's been great to talk with you today on the program. It was fun writing this book with you. And I do hope that our vision, our hope, our desire, that folks will pick this up and find it to be a very practical tool, that dream will come true. So thanks for being with us today, and God bless you for all that you continue to do.
Thank you. It was great being with y'all today.
Well, now you have some tools for that repair project for your marriage, right? And if you need more specific help, go to 5lovelanguages.com. You'll find the book we've been talking about by Dr. Shannon Warden and Dr. Gary Chapman. It's titled The DIY Guide to Building a Family That Lasts, 12 Tools for Improving Your Home Life. Again, go to 5lovelanguages.com. And next week, our Summer Best Of series continues with Robert Waugemuth and Nancy DeMoss Waugemuth as they encourage us to trust God to write our stories and embrace the mysteries of His providence. Don't miss it.
A big thank you today to Steve Wick and Janice Todd for their work behind the scenes. Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman is a production of Moody Radio in Chicago in association with Moody Publishers, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. Thanks for listening.